and try and finish this morning. Amen. You know, we were singing that God is mighty and He reigns. You know, it's awesome to me that I finally have got to a point in my life that I know that He reigns whether the circumstances look good or they don't. You know, you can come into the house of God sometimes and your heart is full of Him and you've been blessed of Him and you want to worship Him and you can start walking around and greeting one another and people's faces are so long and they're so discouraged. And it's like, I have to really get my mind back on the fact that God reigns. You know, He rules and He reigns in our hearts, whether our brothers and sisters are seeing Him that way or not, whether our circumstances are that way or not. God rules and He reigns and He's mighty. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question that I don't normally ask. I sense the Lord asked me, speak to me about it sitting there. The pastor had told you a few weeks ago, and it's not because it's my take, but it's because it's what we felt what the Lord was doing. But He said to you all, He said, you need to take these tapes and you need to eat them. And you need to listen to them and you need to make them a part of your heart. I want to see how many of you have done that. Okay. All right. Now I want to know how many of you are defeated in your life and you're walking in strongholds this morning and you're discouraged. Let me see those hands. Okay. When you follow godly counsel, you see Jesus. Amen. When you give Him all of your heart and you follow just the little things, when I began to go through these things in my own life, when God began to take me through them in my life, it wouldn't have mattered to me if He had told me, and it's not because it was Him, it was because I had to have somebody to lead me and guide me, because God had shown me that I was so full of pride, that I was so full of myself, I was so self-centered, that I had to be like a child and say, somebody has got to lead me and guide me and show me what I'm supposed to be doing next. And it wouldn't have mattered to me if He had told me to stand on my head. I would have said, somebody get me up against a wall, prop me there, and help me stay until He tells me I can get down. That's the point that God brought me. And that's why this thing has become real in my heart, is because I saw Jesus. And when I started to fall through on the little things in my life, there is not a reason why we shouldn't be full of the joy and the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. He has shown us over and over and over that He is keeping us and He is preparing us and He's got His right hand upholding us in the midst of our trials and our circumstances, in the midst of what we're having to walk through. The Lord is upholding us. I can't do anything but tell you that. The Word tells you that. I can tell you that. But you've got to prove Him to be that in your life. You've got to know that within yourself, that He is that for you. You've got to prove Him, and He is going to put you into circumstances where you're going to have to prove Him. And I ask you, and I prayed over you, and the Lord's still having me pray over you, that you harden not your heart in the day of provocation. Well, God is beginning to put you in places where you're going to be tried. Already, you've already hardened your heart. You know why? No, Sister Beth, I've not hardened my heart. I've prayed. I've asked the Lord, you have hardened your heart because you've not followed through on what you were told to do. You have it in your mind that your opinion and your way is the best way. Amen? And that's why we find ourselves burdened down this morning and we can't worship God. The woman is saying that we've been made more than a conqueror. I know we have. I know in this life we've been made more than a conqueror because the Word says that He has made us that. And not just because the Word says so, but because I'm starting to experience that He has provided a way. That Jesus has bought, He won the victory. And He's made a way for us to walk more than a conqueror. More, not just a conqueror, more than that. More than that, above it and over it, more than a conqueror. Not just that I can defeat the enemy or the flesh in my life, but He's made me more than that. He's made me more than that. Not only can I defeat the enemy in my heart because God's put the anointing within us and He's allowed that process to anoint us and He's beginning to fight our battles for us. He's bringing the military campaign into our hearts. He's settling in right on that one area. and we're concentrating on it. I tell you, if you're as defeated as you look this morning, you'll get someplace with the Lord alone and you'll seek Him until He fills you and you can start to sense that military campaign come in that one area of your life, or else I'll see you a year from now still the very same way you are today. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The Lord can't make you do it. He can only put it out there and tell you, advise you, and counsel you. It says, whosoever will. It didn't say whosoever was smart. It didn't say whosoever had the most time. It said, whosoever will come shall be filled with waters and he'll never thirst again. That's truth. That's truth. Not only because the Word says it, because we're starting to experience that it's truth. It's not a hope so. It's not a I hope so anymore. That is nothing but your pride trying to find a way out. It is not a I hope so. It is I know that the Word said whosoever will. And I am a whosoever. And God the Holy Ghost is stirring that hunger in my soul to be at the feet of Jesus. To be filled with the living waters of Christ. And as we begin to experience that, and He becomes real to us, and when we come into the house of God, we're not dragging around like we've got a weight on us. We're ready to worship Him. We're ready to lift up His name, to glorify Him. Why? Because our circumstances are wonderful? No, because He is. Because He is. Because He's met me in my prayer closet. And He's met me. And He's received and He's inhabited my praises. When I come into this house and I worship Him and I praise Him and I walk around and I pray and I seek His name, He begins to inhabit my praises and He begins to fill my heart with Himself and with His presence. And you can't walk around with a weight on you when Jesus is filling you with Himself. It's glory unspeakable. It's joy unspeakable. And full of glory. That's not something that we just talk about that makes you sound good and makes you feel good. It's the truth. It's real. It's real. In our hearts and in our lives, it's real. And you know what? Some of these baby ones, they sit me down and they say, it's awesome. It's awesome. They're so childlike. And Sister Beth, you know what Pastor said? That's just what I'm doing. I'm doing that. You know what I'm sensing? And they're encouraging some of you all. They get filled with the presence of God. The things becoming real to them because they're following through and just doing what they've been asked to do. Not somebody standing over them with a whip saying, you got to do this. But the hunger is in their heart. And when they hear something they're supposed to follow through on, they grab it. Oh, this is my next step. This is what I'm supposed to be doing now. This is what I'm supposed to be doing next. And they're getting up and they're rising up early in the morning and they're seeking God. And then I've heard someone say, and then you know, since God drove me again in the day. And when I'm telling me, you know, I prayed 30 minutes for so-and-so the other 30 minutes. I said, praise God. Praise God. While the rest of us that's older in the Lord walk around with our pious selves and our religious selves trying to be something that we're not, trying to look the part that we hadn't gained yet, the babies are saying, give me what the Word says. If you said, and I had one I'm telling the other day, that somebody said to them, well, you know, God said that He upholds us and He lifts us up. It keeps us in the midst of our troubles. And they had quoted that to somebody, and the person they quoted to said, well, I hope so. You know what they said? No, it's not a hope so. It's true, because that's what God's Word says. Amen? You want to mark it? It's October 97. We preached this last year, October 96. And you know what? I can preach it again, October 98. And if some of you don't rise up and embrace God's Word and hold it close to your heart, you're going to be sitting in the same spot next year with the same shout and the same tears and no closer to the Lord. Amen? It's for whosoever will. Not the intelligent, not the wise, not the rich, but whosoever has the heart that hungers and wants to follow hard after Christ is going to have Jesus. Amen. That's the way He ordained it. Out of the mouths of the babies, God's going to declare His Word. Amen. We got last week to the point, and instead of going through the whole thing again, we're just going to pick up where we stopped last week at Bezalel. We talked about that after we go through this anointing process, as we're going through it, That we have this divine apothecary. He's the divine perfumer. He's the one that sits to make sure that everything goes in that oil the way God wants it. And he makes sure that it gets just enough myrrh, just enough cinnamon, just enough cassia, just enough cowan. Whatever you need is what goes into that oil. Amen? And he sits there and he's very skilled at what he does. He is not afraid to execute and put on you the humility when he sees your flesh rise. He's not afraid to smear you with the cinnamon. He's not afraid to call on the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Ghost, smear them with the cinnamon and get them pruned back down so I can use them. He's not afraid to execute his word. He's not afraid to put that oil on you when it's in need. He's not afraid to put you through sufferings. And I tell you, I have never in my life seen Christians in this last hour that are so wimpy and so fleshy and so childish. You say, Sister Beth, now don't say all that stuff. I'm telling you, when God puts them in a tight spot, it's always God's will that they get out. I'm telling you, God is putting some of you in that place to prove Him. But our flesh so wants an out that they just can't believe that God, their Father, would do this to them. I tell you, if you're seeking Him and you've got His heart, you're not going to have to sit back and wonder if it's God or if it's the flesh or if it's the enemy. You're going to know it by the Spirit that it's of God that I'm in this place that I'm in, and I'm going to stay and I'm going to dig in and I'm going to prove God to be what this book says He's going to be. Instead of always looking the way out. God's going to have a people in this last hour that's going to look the way in and not out. They're going to dig in to prove Him. Amen? They're not looking to God to be a fix-it man and be the handyman. They're looking to Him because they have a heart for Him. They want to sit with Him. They want to minister life to Him. You know, when we get to the reward today, I hope some of you's not going to be disappointed at what our reward is. But I tell you, God's not a fix-it man. He's not a handyman. He is God Almighty. And He reigns and He rules in majesty. And He's just like what the song says. He is more than wonderful. He's more than our minds and our hearts can contain. He fills the longings of our soul. There's no man and no woman that can fill that longing of your soul just to sit at the feet of Jesus, just to be with Him, to see Him, to have Him draw you close to Himself, to have Him open His Word up to you and begin to speak to you and encourage you and love you and touch you and minister His life to you. There's nothing that fulfills a heart like Jesus does. And that's what He wants us for. He wants us to fulfill that longing in His own heart. And as a result of that, as we begin to pass through the anointing, all God is going to anoint our lives. And we're not just going to preach an anointed word. Our lives are going to be anointed. Amen? And that means that we go through sufferings. And we all amen that. But when God begins to put you through that, you want the way out. Well, this can't be God. It's exactly who it is. It's God. He's wanting you to take on responsibility. He's wanting you to learn to trust Him. He's wanting your heart to become tender, not just toward your family, but toward all those around you. Amen? Where your heart is sensitive to them. Where your heart hurts for them. Where your heart fears for them and loves them and prays over them. And so He sends us through the myrrh, the sufferings, to soften our heart. And the woman that had been kissed of Him, she said, I don't let Him lay between my breasts. I want Him to lie there all night because I want Him. But when the Lord begins to do that in our lives, we kick and we scream and we fuss. And we pout. And we stomp our foot. And we point our finger. And it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault, and you don't understand. Or you don't understand what we're going through. Or you don't understand this. But God does. The Father does. And that's why He's put you in the midst of it. So He can show Himself to you. So He can get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on Him. And His glory. And His majesty. Amen. And then He puts us in places where we're so weak. Where we have to constantly over and over admit our weaknesses. Where He puts us in situations we think we can handle, and then when we're in them, we find that we're way out of our league. We find that we're way over our head. And that's when He wants you to call on Jesus. That's when He wants you to call out to Him. And He said, I'll put you in my hand. And when my hand, when you're in my hand, you're going to be strong. Is He going to take the weakness away? No, he's going to make you strong in his hands. And then we find ourselves going through these humbling times where we just have to bite our lip. Or we have to bite our tongue. Where we can't say anything. Where God's bringing us down to size. Where he's keeping us from being high-minded and haughty. And looking on others like we're a little bit better than they are. Amen? And we're so open to the Word when it's going our way. But when we're not, we throw up our face and we throw up our shoulders and we don't receive God's Word. I tell you, God's going to put some cinnamon in your life to bring you back down to size. And then you're going to open your heart and you want that Word into your heart. And you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? You said that is a sign of pride. It's when you come into the house of God and you harden yourself up against God. You're not hardening yourself against me. I'm just a stalk. I'm just a reed shaking in the breeze. I'm just a mouthpiece. You're not hardening yourself and throwing up your wall at me. You're doing it toward him. You're doing it toward his heart. His heart is to get you to him. His heart is to love you, to nourish you, to embrace you, to fulfill the longing of his heart. And you throw your wall up against him and you push against him. And yourself, within your own self, you get haughty and hard-hearted. And the Lord says he brings those times of humbling. Well, you have to humble yourself down and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've done that. I'm sorry I've kicked against the pricks, Father. I'm sorry I've tried to ease my way out of the circumstances. I'm sorry I've been a whiner. I'm sorry I've pouted. I'm sorry that I showed my immaturity. And the Lord will start to soften your heart and he'll start to humble you. And you'll be just like a child. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. Lead me. Guide me. Show me what way. I obviously don't know the way. Father, will you please show me the way? Be a lamp unto my feet. Let your word, the word, be a lamp to my feet. I find myself out here in the darkness. I don't know which way I'm going. I find myself lost. The Word says he'll be a lamp. He'll let the Word of God be your lamp. It'll shine right on the pathway that you're supposed to go down. He'll put the light right on it, and you know not to go that way. It's dark. You go that way because it's light. That's God's Word lighting your way and leading you and guiding you by his Spirit. And we don't like to be humbled. We don't like to have to soften our heart. We like to be able to point our finger and say, it's your fault. You know, we don't like our hearts to be tender toward one another. You know, I've seen people get in situations and predicaments that they were way over their head. And the heart of the natural man wants to say, well, you're there because you did so-and-so and so-and-so. It's your fault. It's your fault. That heart wants to harden itself and say, well, they're like that because of this, this, and this. You know why? Because if we have to soften our heart up, we're going to have to embrace that man where he's at, love him, and have to also acknowledge in our own hearts and our own minds that if it weren't for the grace of God in our own lives, we could be sitting in the same seat. And that natural man does not want to have to come off of his pedestal to have to admit that he is capable of the same thing outside of Jesus. Amen? And that heart wants to toughen up and wants to get religious and it wants to get self-righteous and it wants to point the finger rather than to say, God, soften my heart. It could be me. It could be me. Let me reach out in love and in mercy and reinstate this man back where he belongs. Back next to your feet. God, let me reinstate him. God, let me be the one to pick him up. Let me be the one that brings him back to the bosom of Christ. Amen? But that natural man wants to harden itself. God says, well, that's when we need the myrrh. And that's when we need the cinnamon. And that's when we have to acknowledge how weak we are. And that's when he can bring the calamus to us. Amen? And then we have to go through our times of surrender. We have to humble ourselves and surrender these Isaacs in our lives. Because before we surrender and give our all to him, in a surrender, when God puts his finger on something in our lives and he says, I want that Isaac, we have to offer it to him and surrender it unto him and let him have it. Before then, we're not true worshipers. We can come, we can go through the motions, we can talk nice and soft and sweet and sound humble and sweet. But I'm going to tell you, unless the Isaac's gone, it's not a true worship. Amen? I don't care how you've trained yourself to talk quietly and be nice. The heart, if it's not surrendered to the Lord, it's not a true worshiper. Amen. And I tell you, the Lord wanted my Isaac, him. When I first got married, that was my Isaac, him. The sun rose and it sat on him. And I remember I was young in the Lord. I was about a year or two in the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. I was in a Baptist church. I didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. But the Lord said to me, he cannot sit, rule, and reign in your heart. He said, that's my place. I was young. I was a baby. And the Lord, he said, he can't sit, Lord, of your heart. But he was my promise. See, he was my promise. He was everything that I wanted. And God granted that to me, but he became my Isaac. And God asked me of that Isaac. He said, you got to give it up. And I can remember the day sitting in that Baptist church where Jesus became Lord of my heart. Amen. I remember it. I remember that. And then when these two babies came, I wasn't supposed to have children, but my two promises came. And they were my Isaacs, and I was so fearful of them. I kept them close to me all the time. I wouldn't let them out of my sight. They couldn't go out and play by themselves without me right with them all the time. You know why? Because they were my promises. And I had to take care of them. And I was afraid to let go of them because that was my Isaac, my promises. God blessed me and I was so thankful, but yet they became an Isaac in my heart. And God said, they can't be. And that was a few years ago. God said, they can't be. I got to be Lord. You got to trust me. You've got to learn to trust me. I said, God, I don't even know if I can. I don't even if I have the faith. I don't know how. But I remember sitting there, and I remember offering those children back up to him. I said, God, what comes, comes, and you give me grace to deal. And they didn't, and Jesus became Lord of my heart again in that area. And I can look back in my lives and see the times where I've had to surrender different things in my life. And God's saying before that time comes, when he puts that finger on it, that's when you're accountable. Once that finger touches it, you're accountable. Whatever promise God's put there in your heart, whether it be a calling, whether it be a wife, whether it be a husband, whether it be children, whatever it is, God, I tell you, when you get so distracted by that and you can't keep your mind on the Lord and you're doing things that's wrong in order to feed this passion in your heart, amen, I'm telling you, you got an Isaac in your life that God's not wanting him to be Lord. God says, I will not contend, nor will I fight with this Isaac. And let me tell you, we can sit there and we can give it this, but let me tell you something. It's going to be heart-rending when you have to pull it out of your heart and say, here it is, Lord. And I tell you, it'll mark a change in your life. I would have people say, what's happening to you? What's going on in your life? And they wouldn't know what it was, but they could see something. All right, folks. Something. There was a marked bending in my life. And when you bend, what I tell you Wednesday night, the Lord says that you got to twist yourself around him. You don't twist God around you. You twist around God. And God says that your life has got to be marked with bendings. Well, every time you bend is when you twist yourself around him. And you're fortifying yourself with the Spirit of God. And so every time you bend in your life, every time you've had to come to a point of surrender in your life, you're going to start to sense the strength of God begin to envelop you because you've twisted yourself at that point in your life. You bent yourself around him and you're going to sense the strength and the power of the Lord. And you're going to start sensing yourself walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, but the way that seems right to man, it leads to destruction. And that's what we're seeing in our lives. God saying, I want you to bend and I want you to twist yourself and bind yourself around me. And we're saying, no, God, I'm choosing to walk my way and I'm going down the path that I choose. And you know what? Man's path does not bend. Because he wants the straightest point from A to B. Because it's the quickest and it's the shortest. But God's way is marked by bendings in our life because his purpose is not to get you. His purpose is not to take the things from your heart that you love. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to get you to wind yourself and twist yourself around him so that you're strong and you're fortified and you're walking in the Spirit and after the flesh, not after the flesh. And you're getting strong in him and you're learning to hear his voice and you're beginning to have his heart. And when your heart is prepared, he'll let you have your Isaac. if it's of Him. Amen? And if you don't see your life marked with bendings, I tell you, leading your path is going to be in destruction. In the midst of these sermons, you watch them. In the midst of God trying to open His heart up. In the midst of God trying to share His heart. Trying to draw you to His feet. Trying to draw you close to His heart. I've watched them. I've watched them get hard. I've watched them whine. I've watched them leave. I've watched them pout. I've watched them walk in here like they've got a ton of bricks on them. When God the Holy Ghost for the last 7 services has said, I open my heart to you. I long for you. I desire you. Will you have it? Those that have an ear. Will you hear what the Spirit is saying in this last hour? Will you hear what the Spirit is saying? He is drawing the people to Himself. Not just in this church. I'm telling you, it's going on all over this world. The Holy Ghost is drawing His people close. The Holy Ghost is drawing them in. And whosoever will, whosoever has a heart and a hunger and a thirst for Him and not their own path, whoever has a heart for Him, He's drawing you. And He's going to fill you. You're going to see Jesus manifested in your hearts and your lives. You're going to see the Spirit of God reveal Himself in this last hour. The gifts of the Spirit have been long since gone. You know why? Because God's having problems finding men and women that He can flow through that'll give glory unto Him instead of themselves. And they'll get some gift of the Spirit, some speaking in tongues, some prophecy, and go start a church somewhere or go make millions of dollars. Amen. But let me tell you, in this last hour, God will restore back to the church. He's coming after a glorious church. He's coming after a magnificent church. A church without spot, without blemish in this last hour, without wrinkle. And the gifts of the Spirit and the glory of God will be manifest in His church again. You know why? Because God is cleansing them right now. God is purifying His body. He's stripping them. He's cleansing them. And He's preparing their hearts today. And whosoever will hear what the Spirit is saying, you're going to see God in His glory. The rest of you that choose your own path, you'll get hard as a rock in this last hour, and you'll become cynical against God, and you'll go somewhere and you'll sit in a church and be satisfied. But I tell you, those that's got a heart for Him, and that's a dime a dozen. I tell you, they're dropping out like flies as we speak. But I tell you, God always had a people. God always will have a people. The Bible said He didn't choose us because we were many, that He put His anointing on us because we were few. Because they had a heart for God. Because the heart hungered after Him. I tell you, you can mark them off, and you can put your finger on each one of them that's had an experience with God. There's something about their life. You can tell those that's been touched of Him and those that desire to touch Him back. They've got something different about them. There's an evidence in their life that they've been touched of the Master. And the closer we get to the end, the more it's going to stand out like a proverbial sore thumb. You're going to know at a glance. They ain't going to have to open their mouth for about 2 or 3 minutes. And you're going to know if they know anything about Him or they're just talking a good game. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So we talked about this Bezalel that's got us uplifted. He knows just when to put the myrrh in. He knows just how much. He knows when you need it, when you don't. He knows how much you need. And He upholds us. He knows it's going to be rough at times. He knows the circumstances are going to be tough at times. He knows it's going to get tight at times. He knows the suffering's going to come. He knows you're going to have to bend. He knows you're going to have to give. He knows you're going to have to surrender. But He said, hey, I understand you. I know your flesh and blood. I created you. I created you. And only by God blowing the breath of life in us do we live and breathe today. He said, I formed them and I breathed into them. And I know what you're made up of. And I know what makes you tick. And I know what makes you hurt. And He knows what makes us cry. And He says, I know it's going to be tough at times because the old nature dies hard. He said, but my right hand is going to uphold you and it's going to keep you while this process goes on. Well, I hope so. No, bless God, He will. He will. Because you know why? Because that's His nature. It's His heart. It's His heart. It's God's heart to uphold His people. It's God's heart. God hurts when you hurt. God hurts when you hurt. It hurts Him when He has to pull those roots out of your heart. It hurts His heart because He knows it hurts you. But His big hands got you. and you're not going to fall. He said, I'll enlarge the stone, the rock that you stand on to keep you from slipping. If you slip down, you'll fall on the rock. He's upholding you. He's keeping you in the midst of the process. And yes, it tears at us. And it pricks us. And we cry. We bleed. We weep. We weep. We weep at our immaturities. We weep at how foolish we've been. We weep at how much time we've wasted. We weep. Our heart bleeds. Oh God, where was I? What was I doing? The very people that I prayed for so long, those religious people, look at me. That's what I am. And our heart weeps. But He hears. He hears the cry. And He upholds you with His right hand. And He keeps you in the midst of the workings and the dealings and the plans and purposes of God in your life. And He hovers over you. And He broods over you. And He waits to hear your cry. And He waits to hear what God's going to tell Him so He can move on your behalf. Amen? Let's turn to 2 Kings 4. So that's the process. And in order for us to be anointed in this last hour, we're going to go through the sufferings to make us sensitive. We're going to go through the humilities to keep us humble. We're going to go through the weaknesses, and we're going to go through the times of surrender. Amen. God's going to teach us. God is God's people. God's remnant in this last hour will be worshipers. They will be worshipers. You'll sense it when you're around them. They got to do their normal everyday things, but that heart has a cry. It has a worship. It wants to worship their Father, their Maker. It wants to worship Him. It almost wants to bow down. You just want to bow down in the presence of the Lord and worship Him because of who He is and what He's done in their lives. And so God's people in this last hour will be worshipers. And they will worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen? But God, not only is He going to bring us through this process and anoint our lives, but there's a reward that goes with this anointing. And that, again, is God's heart. We could be satisfied with an anointing in our lives, being able to sense Him, being able to have His life. That is enough reward for most. Amen? But the Lord says, I want to bless my people. Because that's His heart. God's always over and above more than you can ask or think. He's always over. He always goes over and more than you can ever ask or think. And it has to come a point in your life where that scripture in James is not just some scripture, where that thing is real in your soul, where you see Him so awesome, where you see His mercy so prevalent, His long-suffering in your life, where you can stand and your heart will break when you think, He is more than I can ask or think. Amen? 2 Kings 4. Verse 1. Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And she cried unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? So what is she saying to him? She's saying, My husband was one of the sons of the prophets. Glory to God. Boy, that's good company, isn't it? She said, Now he's dead and I find myself in debt. And the creditors is not being nice to me. They said, If I don't get out of debt and pay this debt, they're going to take my two sons. And their two sons would have had to have been slaves for 7 years to pay the debt. Okay? And so she's sitting here. She owes a debt. And if you get a picture of yourself and put yourself in this woman's place, we owe a debt. We have debt that we can't pay. We have a debt to humanity that we can't even begin to pay. Because we have the life of Christ in us. We have His life. We know Him. We've been redeemed. We know what it's like to have been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we owe a debt. But we don't know how to pay it. And she said, look, they're going to come get my sons. They're going to get everything I got to pay this debt. And he said, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee, tell me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to help you? What do you want me to do? And that's what we find ourselves doing, going from person to person. What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do for you? You're in debt. What do you want me to do? But catch this. He said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me. And what hast thou in the house? She says, well, thine handmaid doesn't have anything. I don't have anything in the house save a pot of oil. I don't have anything. Elijah said, what do you want me to do? In other words, how do you want me to pay your debt? What do you want me to do for you? Do you have anything? Do you have anything we can sell? She said, I don't have anything. I don't have a thing except a pot of oil. And that's what the world says to you. You see your debt. You see humanity. You see lost mankind. You watch them on your job. I mean, you got these men coming to me. I want to fast and pray for these folks on my job. They're dying. They're going to hell. I've said everything I know to say. I don't know what else to say to them. I've witnessed Jesus. I've said it over and over. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do for them. Maybe I should take some time off work and just seek the Lord and fast and pray. You see, we get to the end of ourselves and we don't know what to do. We have a debt and we can't pay it. And so she goes to the man of God and she says, what do you want me to do? He says, what do you want me to do? Do you have anything? She says, I don't have a thing except a pot of oil. I tell you, we don't have anything. We have nothing to offer anybody. We can have the nicest house, we can have the nicest car, but somebody else is going to have something nicer. We can have integrity, we can have character, we can have all of that, but somebody else is going to be better. We don't have anything to offer. We have nothing to give. We say all the right words, we run the scriptures, we preach, we do what we can do. Just like I've done for 7 services, I have said everything I know to say. And I don't have anything. And the world and the enemy and the flesh will say to you, you have nothing. You have nothing. You have nothing to give them. You've said all you can say, and it's not getting anywhere. You don't have anything. She said, I don't have anything but a pot of oil, and that is nothing of any value. It's not going to be any good. It's just one little pot. But let me tell you something. That little pot was more than what she thought it was. You see, God had not missed a tear. He had not missed a time when she bent. He had not missed a time when she surrendered. He had not missed a time when she cried out to Him in weakness. She had not missed a time of going through the sufferings and saying, oh God, my heart hurts. It weeps over the sinfulness of my own heart. It weeps. God had not missed one tear. He had not missed one cry. And He had not missed it. And God said, Elijah said, what have you got? She said, I don't have anything. She didn't know what she had. And we listen to the enemy. And we listen to the lies. And you come in here all beat over. And all bent over. Oh, you listen to the lie of the enemy. You listen to the lie of your stinking flesh. And you say, I ain't got nothing. Well, I tell you, God's not missed a tear. And He's not missed a cry. And she had that pot of oil. Bless God. She didn't have nothing else. But she had that oil. Woo! Y'all can sit there dumb faith if you want to and pie, but I tell you what, Spirit of God wants to put something in you today. You got to have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying to you. I tell you, we ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing to give them. We ain't got nothing to give him or her or nobody else. We've got nothing. But He said, you got a pot of oil. She said, all I got is a pot of oil. It ain't how much value. It don't go far. It ain't going to go too far. But look what Elisha says. Buddy, it didn't move Elisha. It didn't move him. You catch that next scripture when she said, I got a pot of oil, buddy. He didn't ever break breath. He didn't ever even take a breath. He said, you got a pot of oil. He said, then he said, go! He didn't break breath. It didn't move him back. He said, oh, sister, we're going to have to do something. We need to go call a prayer meeting. We need to go get everybody's money together. We need to pound it all together. And put, buddy, when he found out she had some oil, when he heard she had some oil, he didn't even break breath. He said, then he said, go. The man of God knew it. The prophet knew it. The prophet knew what she had. The prophet won't perturb. He won't scare to death. He won't intimidate it. He knew what that pot of oil stood for. He knew what it was, and he didn't even hesitate. He said, woman, you got a pot of oil. You go. You go. He knew what that oil represented. He knew what it cost her. He knew what went in that oil. He knew how many tears it took to get a pot that size. He knew how many times she had to bend her knee. How many times she had to admit her weaknesses. How many times she had to surrender to Him and come unto Him as a child. He knew what it had cost her. And as soon as He saw it, she had that all. He said, go. Bar the vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Go and get every vessel you can find. Because honey, you got a debt you can't pay. But the Holy Ghost is fixed to show you how to pay that debt. I tell you what we're going to get. We're going to get Him. We're going to have Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus saved, sanctified, and Him crucified and raised from the dead. Amen? In Leviticus 21:12 it says this. Now, let me say this. This woman did not mean to demean that pot of oil. You all don't mean to demean yours. She just didn't know what she had. She had, in the midst of her turmoil, in the midst of them fixing to come get her sons, she had forgot to look back about 2 years ago to see where she was sitting 2 years ago. But Elisha reminded her. See, she didn't realize, she didn't mean to demean that pot of oil. She just didn't know what she had. She didn't realize it was the plan and purposes of God's life. She just thought that was her cross for not being such a good Christian. She just thought all that suffering was because she was naughty. She just thought all those tears was because, well, that's the way it's going to be for me. This is the way my lot is in life. She didn't know that was the hand of God, buddy. He was putting it to her every way she was coming. He was putting her on that chessboard. He was moving her and moving her and placing her and bringing this circumstance and bringing that one and putting the myrrh in there and putting the cinnamon in there and moving her over there and bringing this circumstance and putting the humility there and putting the calamus there. Buddy, He was working in her heart, boy. He done seen her cry. He knew she was a woman of God. She was married to one of the prophets, and he'd seen her heart, and she had been maneuvering her and putting her into place. And allowing these circumstances in His plan to be put into action in her heart. She didn't even know what it was. She just thought, well, I guess that just kind of goes with it. And buddy, it don't just go with it. That is the hand of God. That's the hand of God. It was the hand of God working out His plan and His purpose for her life. And I tell you what, she knew where to go when she got hot and tired. She said, man, I got a debt. I don't know how to pay it. She went to find out some counsel for somebody. And as soon as he heard it, he knew she had it. Woo! He knew she had it. Boy, you got some oil. You got some oil. Oh, you might not have the nicest furniture. You might not have the nicest jewelry. You might have not have this. She said, I don't have nothing in the house. Nothing. But I got a pot of oil, Elisha. You got some oil? Girlfriend, go. You better go. You take your oil and you fill up every vessel. You go to your neighbor's house. Go down the street. Go down the block and you fill up every vessel you can find with your oil. Because that oil is the life of God. That's the life of God. You go fill them up. Glory to God. Woo. Glory to God. Well, I thought I was going to get everything patched up. I bet she couldn't wait to be used to Him. Hallelujah. Leviticus 21:12 says this, for the crown of the anointing oil, for the crown of the anointing oil of His God is upon Him. Oh, folks, you got to hear what the Spirit's saying to you. She said, I don't have a thing in my house. But buddy, he glued his eyes on that pot of oil, and she knew that anointing oil was resting that crown of life. She had a crown on her head. It was upon Him. It was, and what's a crown? Every time you see a crown, immediately you know that person's set apart. A crown means it's an evidence or it's a mark in a man's life. It's a visible sign that everybody can see. And the word says that God will put an anointing oil crown on your head and people will be able to see it. And the evidence will be in your heart that you're a man that has a heart for God. What more of a reward could we ask for as His children than to have the crown of God's anointing oil resting upon us and evidence of His life? She didn't mean to demean it. She just didn't know what she had. And he told her, girlfriend, don't you know that anointing oil sitting on your head? That's a crown of life to you. It's an evidence to all that the hand of God's in your life. What did he tell her? He said, go. He said, then go bar the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Bar not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went out from him, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she began to pour out. He said, I want you to come in. This is your counsel for today. I want you to come in, and I want you to shut the door. Matthew 6:6 says it this way. When you pray, go into your most private room and close the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. She said, you got this pot of oil. I want you to go fill every vessel. And I want you, look, don't fill them out there in the yard. Go bring them into the innermost part of your house and shut the door. And you pray. And as you pray, you pour. And when you start to pour, you start to fill. And when you start to pour, you start to multiply. Amen. Matthew Henry says that the anointing of God is to all who have it a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. So what he's saying is, he's leaving a big reference here. It says the anointing of God is to all who have it a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. He's leaving a big reference that not everybody has it. Amen. You know who's going to have it? Is the one that's going to pass through the process and get it in their lives and prove God and see Him upholding them with His right hand and prove His mercy in their lives and prove His long-suffering and prove His providence and His plan and His purpose for their lives. All that will pass through under that rod of that anointing will be anointed, and the crown of life will sit on them, and they'll go and they'll get those vessels and they'll bring them into the innermost room, and they'll start to pour and pour and pour and pour and pour until all the vessels are full. And the more she poured, the more the pot of oil gave. So she found out the secret to this thing was the more she poured, the more she had. The more she gave, because see, she approved God. She wanted to be His servant. She wanted to be His mouthpiece. She wanted to do whatever He said do. And so she just wanted to pour for Him. And she began to pour. And she began to pour. And she began to pour. And the more she poured, the more she gave, the more she was a servant, the more she kept her mouth shut and she allowed the humility to come and the sufferings to come, the more she poured, the more she had. The more life. We're talking about oil now. What was the oil? The oil was the life of God. And in the beginning, when I started to tell you about that oil, I left out one of the definitions on purpose. Because not only does the oil represent life, but the oil represents fruitfulness. Not only will we have His life, which is more than anybody could ask, we're going to have His life within us because the oil within that oil is His life. But not only will we have His life, but we will be fruitful and we can sing, oh, barren. Because we won't be barren anymore. We will bring forth fruit. You know what it means to be fruitful? It means to produce fruit in abundance. That's Him again. Not just produce fruit. That's not the way God does things. produce fruit in abundance. Not productive, very productive. Not barren, but producing life. And that's God's reward for us. If we'll allow ourselves to go through this process, we'll have His life. And the evidence of God's hand will be on our lives. And not only will that evidence be there, but it will produce fruit for His glory. And we can go and pour out until there's not a vessel left. And God wants us to lift our eyes out from among just our neighborhoods and our homes. But He wants us to think of the cities, and He wants us to go a little further and go to the nations. Amen? But only a few are going to have that anointing, because only a few are going to go through the process. So what is the harvest? What is the reward? It's a harvest of souls. It's fruitfulness. It's the life of Christ. When we give all we have to give, His life will sustain us. When we produce and we pour out and we pour out and we pour out and we pour out and we feel there's nothing left to give, you'll sense the Spirit of God, the life of God, begin to well up in you and give you the strength to pour out some more. Amen? So God's reward in this last hour, as we begin to find the empty vessels and we begin to pour forth our oil, our life, and our fruitfulness, God's going to cause our oil to be multiplied, and He's going to crown us with His life, and He's going to crown us with His fruitfulness. Amen? And then we won't have any excuse to walk in downtrodden. Amen? But catch this. It says, and when it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And it says, and the oil stayed. You know what that means? It just stayed. Steadfast. Not moved. Waiting for the next vessel to come upon. It stayed. It didn't start to leak. It didn't start to evaporate. It stayed. Because once you got it, you got it. The anointing is there. Once you touch Him, once you taste Him, God, and you sit submissive and under His hand, when you start to get puffed up, you'll sense that cinnamon come. When you start to sense your heart get hard, you'll sense the myrrh come. God will keep the workings of the Spirit in your heart all the time to keep that anointing in your life. And it says here, and it came to pass, it says, and the oil stayed, and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt. And live thou and the children on the rest. So what is he saying? Not only do we pour out our oil for the lost, all the empty vessels, and we fill those, but she saved her house. You see, we don't think we've got much sometimes, and we don't think we always do it right sometimes. And there's times when we could spank them a little bit more, and there's times when we should back off. But what I'm getting at is, God said He'd save your house. If you'll pass through this anointing and you'll allow this anointing to rest in your life, your house will be saved, and not just that house, but this house. If you're a minister, if you're a pastor, if you're a layman, you're going to save your house, this house, the house of God that you attend. You'll be an encouragement rather than a snake's tongue. You'll be uplifting to those around you instead of stomping them. You'll be uplifting. You'll give them life. He'll give them life. Not only will the world be saved, not only will the neighborhoods be saved, not only will you give until you're empty, until you fill them up, but God said you'll save your house. You'll be an encouragement to the house of God. We won't have to lose one if they'll receive the oil from our lives. They'll be able to receive the encouragement. Amen? So if we allow this process to come forth in our lives, and I'm telling you, it's not easy sometimes. You have to get on your face and cry out. You have to sit in the presence of God till He fills you, till you know His mind, till you know His heart. When He starts to pull those roots out of you, it makes you cry. It makes you weep. And then when your eyes are open and you look back to what you were, you cry again. But God is upholding you, and He's keeping you in the midst of the process. And He says, if you'll let me be God in your life, if you'll let me let you live and not die, I'm going to crown you with life and with fruitfulness. So that every man will see that the hand of God is prevalent and preeminent in your life. Somehow I think that you were expecting a different kind of reward. We weren't going to have any more problems, and things were going to run smooth. They're not going to run smooth, and there's always going to be problems until Jesus comes. But when you've got His hand under you, and you sense His life bubbling within you, it says it'll be like a river of waters that bubbles up and springs forth, whose rivers will never run dry. You sense the life of God in your heart. You're able to give. You'll do anything to be able to give unto Him, this man that loved you, that gave Himself, that was slain from the foundation of the world, so that you could be reconciled back to God, that gave His life, that stood in the gap, that stood between heaven and hell for your soul. When you see Him, and you embrace Him, and you kiss Him, and you allow your spirit to become one with His. That's all you want, is to be able to be fruitful and to give glory unto Him. It says, wherein shall you bring glory to my name? That you bear much fruit. And the heart of a servant is to bring glory to his master. To bring honor and glory unto Him. And He says the only way we can do that is to bear fruit. And the only way we can bear fruit is to be anointed. And the only way we can be anointed is to pass through this process and dare not harden up our hearts in the day of provocation and learn to prove God in this last hour time. Amen? God wants to crown His people with a crown of fruitfulness and of life.